Good day and welcome to Letters and Politics. I'm Mitch Jezerich. Today we have the second installment of a four-part reading of the most ancient of stories, the Epic of Gilgamesh. This being the final week of our end-of-the-year fun drive, I am changing the format of this program in order to bring you the story. The Epic of Gilgamesh is the oldest complete story that we have that was written down and preserved in clay tablets more than 3,000 years ago, before the Bible and before the Iliad and Odyssey were ever formed. This version of the Epic of Gilgamesh is believed to have been written down on clay tablets in the writing system known as cuneiform, one of the oldest writing systems that we have. And this is a story that was written down sometime between 1500 to 1100 BCE by a Babylonian poet named Senleki-Unini. And Senleki-Unini is believed to have written this by synthesizing at least five older poems about Gilgamesh that were around for at least another 1,000 years before. Gilgamesh himself, if he ever existed at all, was a Sumerian king of the great walled city of Uruk in modern-day Iraq around 3000 BCE, so we can trace this story, at least a thread of it, really going back to 5,000 years ago. We are now talking about the beginning of civilization. The Epic of Gilgamesh is certainly about the creation of civilization and its place in the world. It's also a story about civilization's destructive forces on the natural world, even 1,000 years ago. Yesterday we read about the civilizing of Enkidu, who was born in nature and ran with the animals, and who, after he was civilized by the priestess Shamhat, he challenged King Gilgamesh, who was terrorizing the people of Uruk, to a battle. And after this great and mighty battle, they would become the closest of friends, perhaps even lovers. Today we get into this destruction of the environment with books 3 and 5 of the Epic of Gilgamesh, in which the two heroes of our story go off to kill the monster Humbaba, the guardian of the forest. One final note before I begin. During this reading you will hear the repetition of certain phrases, sentences, and even entire paragraphs. This is something you will find in all the epic stories that have their origins in the oral tradition. You also find it in the Iliad and the Odyssey and many others. It is believed that this was a memory device to help the poets of old who retold these stories to remember them. And with these passages firmly memorized, it also allowed the poets to think about where to go next in the story. I'll explain more about this after reading Book 3. It's a pretty interesting history, and it has a very strong connection, believe it or not, to our Bay Area city of Oakland. But without further ado, Book 3 of the Epic of Gilgamesh. Time passed quickly. Gilgamesh said, "Now we must travel to the cedar forest, where the fierce monster Humbaba lives. We must kill him and drive out evil from the world." Enkidu sighed, his eyes filled with tears. Gilgamesh said, "Why are you sighing? Why, dear friend, do your eyes fill with tears?" Enkidu answered, "Dear friend, a scream sticks in my throat. My arms are limp. I knew that country when I roamed the hills with the antelope and deer. The forest is endless. It spreads far and wide for 1,000 miles. What man would dare to penetrate its depths?" Gilgamesh said, "Listen, dear friend, even if the forest goes on forever, I have to enter it, climb its slopes, cut down a cedar that is tall enough to make a whirlwind as it falls to earth." Enkidu said, "But how can any man dare to enter the cedar forest? It is sacred to Enlil. Hasn't he declared its entrance forbidden? Hasn't he put Humbaba there to terrify men? We must not go on this journey. We must not fight this creature. His breath spews fire. His voice booms like thunder. His jaws are death. He can hear all sounds in the forest, even the faintest rustling among the leaves. He will hear us 100 miles away. Who among men or gods could defeat him? Humbaba is the forest guardian. Enlil put him there to terrify men. Whoever enters will be struck down by fear." Let me pull out just a moment here to talk about the Babylonian god of Enlil. This is the god of the air, of storms, of wind, and considered to be one of the most powerful gods on earth. This is the god who also hates human beings. And he puts Humbaba in the forest, basically to guard the forest from people like Gilgamesh and Enkidu, who are coming to chop down this forest. Also interesting, this will happen on Thursday's reading when we get into the story of the flood. Again, it's believed the flood in Gilgamesh is the origins of the flood in the Bible. And in Gilgamesh, the story goes, is that people angered so much Enlil that he caused a flood to wipe out all humans. It's important to keep that in mind, and it's something to think about today as we live, I think, in a world of rising oceans. So back to the reading. Gilgamesh answered, "Why, dear friend, do you speak like a coward? What you just said is unworthy of you. It grieves my heart. We are not gods. We cannot ascend to heaven. No, we are mortal men. Only the gods live forever. Our days are few in number, and whatever we achieve is a puff of wind. Why be afraid then, since sooner or later death must come? Where is the courage you have always had? If I die in the forest on this great adventure, won't you be ashamed? When people say, 'Gilgamesh met a hero's death battling the monster of Humbaba,' and where was Enkidu? He was safe at home. You were raised in the mountains. With your own hands, you have killed marauding lions and wolves. You are brave. Your heart has been tested in combat. Whether you come along or not, I will cut down the tree. I will kill Humbaba. I will make a lasting name for myself. I will stamp my fame on men's minds forever." Gilgamesh bolted the seven gates of Great Walled Uruk, and the people gathered. Crowds of them poured into the streets. Gilgamesh sat on his throne. The crowds pressed in to hear him. Gilgamesh spoke, "Hear me, elders of Great Walled Uruk. I must travel now to the cedar forest, where the fierce monster Humbaba lives. I will conquer him in the cedar forest. I will cut down the tree. I will kill Humbaba. The whole world will know how mighty I am. I will make a lasting name for myself. I will stamp my fame on men's minds forever." Then Gilgamesh turned to the young men and spoke, "Hear me, young men of Great Walled Uruk, warriors and comrades who have fought at my side. I will journey to meet the monster Humbaba. I will walk a road that no man has traveled. I will face a combat that no man has known. Give me your blessing before I leave, so that I may come back from the cedar forest victorious and see your faces again. Once again, may I celebrate the new year with you in the streets of Great Walled Uruk, to the lyre's sound and the beat of the drums." Enkidu stood up. There were tears in his eyes. "Elders of Uruk, persuade the king not to go to the cedar forest, not to fight the fierce monster Humbaba, whose roar booms like a thunderclap, whose breath spews fire, whose jaws are death, who can hear all sounds in the forest, even the faintest rustling among the leaves. Who among men or gods could defeat him? Humbaba is the forest's guardian. Enlil put him there to terrify men." The elders bowed to the king and said, "You are young, sire. Your heart beats high and runs away with you. Why do you wish to embark on this folly? We have heard of Humbaba. He is dangerous. He is horrible to look at. His breath spews fire. His jaws are death. How can any man, even you, dare to enter the cedar forest? Who among men or gods could defeat him? Humbaba is the forest guardian. Enlil put him there to terrify men." After he had listened to the elder's words, Gilgamesh laughed. He got up and said, "Dear friend, tell me, has your courage returned? Are you ready to leave? Or are you still afraid of dying a hero's death? Enkidu, let us go to the forge and order the smiths to make us weapons that only the mightiest heroes could use." Enkidu listened gravely. He stood silent there for a long time. At last he nodded. Gilgamesh took his hand. The smiths listened to their instructions. They cast huge weapons that ordinary men could never carry, axes that weighed 200 pounds each, knives with cross guards and heavy mountings of solid gold. Each man carried weapons and armor weighing more than 600 pounds. Gilgamesh said, "Before we leave, let us pay a visit to my mother's temple. Let us go and speak to the Lady Ninsun, the wise, the all-knowing. Let us bow before her. Let us ask her for her blessing and for her advice." Hand in hand, the two friends walked to Ninsun's temple. Gilgamesh bowed to his mother, the goddess Ninsun, and said, "I must travel now to the cedar forest. I must journey to meet the fierce monster Humbaba. I must walk a road that no man has traveled. I must face a combat that no man has known. Dear mother, great goddess, help me in this. Give me your blessing before I leave, so that I may come back from the cedar forest victorious and see your face again." Ninsun listened to his words with sorrow. With sorrow, she entered her inner room. She bathed in water of tamarisk and soapwort. She put on her finest robe, a white belt, a jeweled necklace, then put on her crown. She climbed the stairs and went up to the roof. She lit sweet incense in honor of Shamash. She lifted her arms in prayer and said, "Lord of heaven, you have granted my son beauty and strength and courage. Why have you burdened him with a restless heart? Now you have stirred him up to attack the monster Humbaba, to make a long journey from which he may not return. Since he has resolved to go, protect him until he arrives at the cedar forest, until he kills the monster Humbaba and drives from the world the evil that you hate. Protect him each day as you cross the sky, and at twilight may Aya, your bride, entrust him to the valiant stars, the watchmen of the night. O Lord Shamash, glorious sun, delight of the gods, illuminator of the world, who rise and the light is born. It fills the heavens. The whole earth takes shape. The mountains form. The valleys go bright. Darkness vanishes. Evil retreats. All creatures wake up and open their eyes. They see you. They are filled with joy. Protect my son. On his dangerous journey, let the days be long. Let the nights be short. Let his stride be vigorous and his legs sturdy. When he and his dear friend Enkidu arrive, stir up strong winds against Humbaba, the south wind, the north wind, the east and the west, storm wind, gale wind, hurricane, tornado, to pin Humbaba, to paralyze his steps, and make it easy for my son to kill him. Then your swift mules will carry you onward to your stopping place and bed for the night. The gods will bring luscious foods to delight you. Aya will dry your face with a fringe of her pure white robe. Hear me, O Lord, protect my son. In your great mercy, lead him to the forest, then bring him home." After she had prayed, the goddess Ninsun, the wise, the all-knowing, came down from the roof and summoned Enkidu. "Dear child," she said, "you were not born from my womb, but now I adopt you as my son." She hung a jeweled amulet around Enkidu's neck. "As a priestess, take in an abandoned child. I have taken in Enkidu as my own son. May he be a brother to Gilgamesh. May he guide him to the forest and bring him home." Enkidu listened. Tears filled his eyes. He and Gilgamesh clasped hands like brothers. They took their weapons, the massive axes, the massive knives, the quivers, the bows. The elders made way. The young men cheered. The elders stood up and addressed the king. "Come back safely to Great Walled Uruk. Do not rely on your strength alone, but be watchful, be wary. Make each blow count. Remember that the ancient proverb says, if you walk in front, you protect your comrade. If you know the route, you safeguard your friend. Let Enkidu go ahead as you walk. He knows the way to the cedar forest. He is tested in battle. He is brave and strong. He will guard you at every stage of the journey. Through every danger, he will stand at your side. May Shamash grant you your heart's desire. May the path to the cedar forest be straight. May the nights be safe. With no dangers looking, may your father Lugalbanda protect you. May you conquer Humbaba. May the battle be quick. May you joyfully wash your feet in the river. Dig a well when you stop for the night. Fill your water skins with fresh water. Each day, make an offering to Shamash, and remember Lugalbanda, your father, who journeyed to far-off mountains himself." The elders turned to Enkidu and said, We leave the king in your care. Protect him. Guide him through all the treacherous passes. Show him where to find food and where to dig for fresh water. Lead him to the forest and fight at his side. May Shamash help you. May the gods grant your heart's desire and bring you back safe to Great Walled Uruk. Enkidu said to Gilgamesh, Since you must do this, I must go with you. So let us leave. Let our hearts be fearless. I will go first, since I know the way to the cedar forest, where Humbaba lives. This is book 5. I'm skipping book 4, which is about the journey to the cedar forest by Gilgamesh and Enkidu. Really, it's just a repetition of a number of dreams that Gilgamesh has, and Enkidu giving him his analysis, interpreting the dreams to say, we're gonna defeat the monster Humbaba. Don't worry about it. I'm going to skip that just because of time and go straight to book 5. They stood at the edge of the cedar forest, marveling at the great height of the trees. They could see before them a well-marked trail beaten by Humbaba as he came and went. From far off, they saw the cedar mountain, sacred to Ishtar, where the gods dwell, the slopes of it steep, and rich in cedars with their sharp fragrance and pleasant shade. Gripping their axes, their knives unsheathed, they entered the forest and made their way through the tangle of thorn bushes underfoot. Suddenly Enkidu was seized by terror. His face turned pale like a severed head. He said to Gilgamesh, Dear friend, I cannot continue. I am frightened. I cannot go on. You go into the dreadful forest. You kill Humbaba, and you win the fame. I will return to Great Walled Uruk, and all men will know what a coward I have been. Gilgamesh answered, Dear friend, dear brother, I cannot kill Humbaba alone. Please stay here with me. Stand at my side. Two boats lashed together will never sink. A 3-ply rope is not easily broken. If we help each other and fight side by side, what harm can come to us? Let us go on and attack the monster. We have come so far. Whatever you are feeling, let go of it. Enkidu said, You have never met him, so you don't know the horror that lurks ahead. But when I saw him, my blood ran cold. His teeth are knife sharp. They stick out like tusks. His face, blood smeared, is a lion's face. He charges ahead like a raging torrent, his forehead ablaze. Who can withstand him? I am terrified. I cannot go on. Gilgamesh said, Courage, dear brother. This is no time to give in to fear. We have come so far, across so many mountains, and our journey is about to reach its goal. You were raised in the wild. With your own hands, you have killed marauding lions and wolves. You are brave. Your heart has been tested in combat. Though your arms feel weak now and your legs tremble, you are a warrior. You know what to do. Shout out your battle cry. Let your voice pound like a kettle drum. Let your heart inspire you to be joyous in battle, to forget about death. If we help each other and fight side by side, we will make a lasting name for ourselves. We will stamp our fame on men's minds forever. They walked deep into the cedar forest, gripping their axes, their knives unsheathed, following the trail that Humbaba made. One note about the cedar forest that's interesting here. The cedar forest is in Lebanon. But as I mentioned earlier, when we get the creation of this version of the Epic of Gilgamesh between 1500 BCE and 1100 BCE, it's a synthesis of much older stories of Gilgamesh that were already around for at least another 1,000 years. And one of those older stories actually has the forest that they travel to cut down in Persia. It was a Persian forest. But by the time that the writing of the Epic of Gilgamesh comes, again, 1500 to 1100 BCE, that Persian forest had already been deforested, had already been razed and cut to the ground in order to build the city. And so by this time, they had to find a different forest to go to, and this is the cedar forest in Lebanon. Back to the story. They came within sight of the monster's den. He was waiting inside. Their blood ran cold. He saw two friends. He grimaced. He bared his teeth. He let out a deafening roar. He glared at Gilgamesh. "Young man," he said, "you will never go home. Prepare to die." Dread surged through Gilgamesh. Terror flooded his muscles. His heart froze. His mouth went dry. His legs shook. His feet were rooted to the ground. Enkidu saw his dismay and said, "Dear friend, great warrior, noble hero, don't lose courage now. Remember, two boats lashed together will never sink. A three-ply rope is not easily broken. If we help each other and fight side by side, what harm can come to us? Let's go on." They advanced to the monster's den. Umbaba charged out, roaring at them, and said, "I know you, Gilgamesh. Don't be a fool. Go away. Leave the cedar forest. Have madmen told you to confront me here? I will tear you limb from limb. I will crush you and leave you bloody and mangled on the ground. And you, Enkidu, you son of a fish or a turtle, you gutless, fatherless spawn who never suckled on mother's milk, I saw you in the pasture when you were young. I saw you gaze with the wandering herds, but I didn't kill you. You were too scrawny. You wouldn't have made a decent meal. And now you dare to lead Gilgamesh here. You both stand before me looking like a pair of frightened girls. I will slit your throats. I will cut off your heads. I will feed your stinking guts to the shrieking vultures and crows." Gilgamesh backed away. He said, "How dreadful Humbaba's face has become. It is changing into a thousand nightmare faces, more horrible than I can bear. I feel haunted. I am too afraid to go on." Enkidu answered, "Why, dear friend, do you speak like a coward now? What you just said is unworthy of you. It grieves my heart. We must not hesitate or retreat. Two intimate friends cannot be defeated. Be courageous. Remember how strong you are. I will stand by you. Now let us attack." Pretty hilarious there. Leading up to Humbaba, it was Enkidu who was scared, and Gilgamesh say, "Come on, we must be brave and fight." And now the roles have completely reversed. But, as you'll see, only for a moment. Gilgamesh felt his courage return. They charged at Humbaba like two wild bulls. The monster let out a deafening cry. His roar boomed forth like a blast of thunder. He stamped and the ground burst open. His step split the mountains of Lebanon. The clouds turned black. A sulfurous fog descended on them and made their eyes ache. Then Shamash threw strong winds at Humbaba, the south wind, the north wind, the east and the west, storm wind, gale wind, hurricane, tornado, to pin him down and paralyze his steps. He could not move forward, could not retreat. Gilgamesh saw it. He leaped upon him. He held a knife to Humbaba's throat. Humbaba said, "Gilgamesh, have mercy. Let me live here in the cedar forest. If you spare my life, I will be your slave. I will give you as many cedars as you wish. You are king of Uruk, by the grace of Shamash. Honor him with a cedar temple and a glorious cedar palace for yourself. All this is yours, if only you spare me." Enkidu said, "Dear friend, don't listen to anything that monster says. Kill him before you become confused." Humbaba said, "If any mortal, Enkidu, you know the rules of my forest. You know that this is the place that I am the forest guardian. Enlil put me here to terrify men, and I guard the forest as Enlil ordains. If you kill me, you will call down the gods' wrath, and their judgment will be severe. I could have killed you at the forest edge. I could have hung you from a cedar and fed your guts to the shrieking vultures and crows. Now it is your turn to show me mercy. Speak to him. Beg him to spare my life." Enkidu said, "Dear friend, quickly, before another moment goes by, kill Humbaba. Don't listen to his words. Don't hesitate. Slaughter him. Slit his throat before the great god Enlil can stop us, before the great gods can get enraged. Enlil and Nippur, Shamash and Larsa. Establish your fame, so that forever men will speak of brave Gilgamesh, who killed Humbaba in the cedar forest. Knowing he was doomed, Humbaba cried out, I curse you both. Because you have done this, may Enkidu die. May he die in great pain. May Gilgamesh be inconsolable. May his merciless heart be crushed with grief. Gilgamesh dropped his axe, appalled. Enkidu said, Courage, dear friend. Close your ears to Humbaba's curses. Don't listen to a word. Slaughter him now. Gilgamesh, hearing his beloved friend, came to himself. He yelled. He lifted his massive axe. He swung it. It tore into Humbaba's neck. The blood shot out. Again the axe bit flesh and bone. The monster staggered. His eyes rolled. And at the axe's third stroke, he toppled like a cedar and crashed to the ground. At his death roar, the mountains of Lebanon shook. The valleys ran with his blood. For 10 miles the forest resounded. Then the two friends sliced him open, pulled out his intestines, cut off his head with its knife-sharp teeth and horrible bloodshot, staring eyes. A gentle rain fell onto the mountains. A gentle rain fell onto the mountains. They took down their axes and penetrated deeper into the forest. They went chopping down cedars. The woods' chips flew. Gilgamesh chopped down the mighty trees. Enkidu hewed the trunks into timber. Enkidu said, By your great strength you have killed Humbaba, the forest watchman. What could bring you to dishonor now? We have chopped down the trees of the cedar forest. We have brought to earth the highest of the trees, the cedar whose top once pierced the sky. We will make it into a gigantic door, 100 feet high and 30 feet wide. We will float it down the Euphrates to Enlil's temple in Nippur. No men should go through it, but only the gods. May Enlil delight in it. May it be a joy to the people of Nippur. They bound logs together and built a raft. Enkidu steered it down the great river. Gilgamesh carried Humbaba's head. And that's the end of Book 5 of the Epic of Gilgamesh.